Today's reading is taken from Joshua chapter 1, and it's verses 1 to 18, and that can be found on page 216 of the Church Bibles. It's page 216. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, or the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord and your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you, east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word does not obey it. Whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. This is the Lord's word.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's the start of a new year, and we've got a fresh start with a new series, which, God willing, is going to run through all the way until Easter. We're looking at the book of Joshua. Now, you might ask the totally valid question, why? I mean, there are lots of books in the Bible, aren't there? Why are we studying this book, and why are we looking at it now? Well, I think over the next few months, we're going to see that this book is primarily about two very helpful things for all of us. This is about God's faithfulness to us. In Genesis, he promised a home to Abraham's family, and in Joshua, he actually gets them there. And so for us, if God has promised us a heavenly home, he definitely will get us there. Whatever our weaknesses, whatever the opposition, he will be faithful to his promise. So we're looking at this book because the Holy Spirit is going to use it to strengthen our hope in the faithfulness of God and our hope in our future in heaven. So this is a book about God's faithfulness to us. It's also a book about our service of God. He's been faithful to us. How will we respond to that faithfulness? Will we be faithful to him? Will we use all the blessings he's given us to serve ourselves? Or will we serve the Lord? This is a really positive book. It's a really inspiring book. We're going to see lots of different examples of people serving the Lord wholeheartedly. Will that be us, persevering in service all the days of our life? That's why we're looking at this book. Another preacher, I think, helpfully summarized the message of this book with those words: the faithful God is giving you his promised rest, so serve him. The faithful God is giving you his promised rest, so serve him. God's faithfulness, our service. Those are the two main themes, and we're going to see that right from the start here in chapter 1. In this chapter, I've been really struggling to get some alliteration going, because I never do that. We're going to learn a lesson about the Lord. We're going to learn a lesson about the leader. And we're going to learn a lesson about the lot of us. I really struggled with that third one. Laity was as a potential, but that's a bit churchy, isn't it? But let's start with the first one. The Lord, he's giving you his land of rest. So the book of Joshua is a fresh start. God's people, the Israelites, stand with muddy, wet toes on the banks of the River Jordan. They can see the home that God has promised them. They've just lost their great prophet and leader, Moses. But Moses had a faithful assistant called Joshua. And the Lord speaks to Joshua here in verses 2 and 3. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. If you were with us last term, if you weren't with us last term, by the way, welcome. Really good that you could be with us. It's great to see you. But if you were with us last term, we heard the Lord promised Abraham's family a home. But all his life, he lived as a stranger in the land of Canaan. And only at the very end was he able to purchase just a few small square meters of land where he could bury his wife. And that was kind of like a small down payment, a sign that the Lord would remember his promise of a home to his family. And now we've hit fast forward, about roughly 800 years. And I think you could see a timeline up on the screen there. In those years, Abraham's family grew. And they were oppressed and enslaved in Egypt. Then they were rescued by the Lord and led out by Moses. And as God had promised Abraham, so he promised Moses, leave this place. This is from Exodus 33. You and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. And now, at the very start of this new book, as the Lord promised to Abraham, as he promised to Moses, so he now promises to Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot. After all this time, the promises of the Lord are coming true. Now, over the past few weeks, many of us have been home visiting family and friends over Christmas. And spending time with those that we love is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's also a wonderful thing when we come back home. I breathed a sigh of relief when I came through my front door. Had a lovely time with family in Cardiff, but oh, you can rest when you're in your own home. Others here, you've been hosting family and friends, and I'm sure that was a wonderful thing too. It's great to be able to host so many people, but it's great as well when they go. When you've sort of got your house back to the way it should be, you can rest with your home as your own. And that's the rest that God was giving his people here in Joshua. You can look at the end of verse 13. The Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. It would be that great sigh of relief after wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. It would be a great time of rest after waiting for 800 years to have this land, this home. The Lord had promised the land, now he's giving it to them. The Lord had promised them rest, now he's giving it to them. And by the end of this book, we're going to stand back amazed at the faithfulness of God in keeping his promises. Joshua chapter 21, verse 45 says this: "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled." Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. When the Lord promises a land of rest, he will get his people there. Now, some of you might know that in the world of finance, a country's ability to borrow money is affected by its credit rating. Countries are rated based on how they're getting on sort of politically, economically, and financially. It's a sign of whether they'll actually be able to pay the money back. And according to one major agency that does these ratings, there are 12 countries in the world that have a AAA rating. This rating is a sign that here's a country that you can lend to in every confidence that they're going to keep their word. They're definitely going to pay the money back. And God's promise to get his people to the land of rest is AAA rated. Not one of his promises ever falls to the ground. Every single one of them is fulfilled. And this faithfulness should fill us with hope, because the Lord has promised a land of rest to us, his children, too. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Lord Jesus wonderfully said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you," what? Rest. That's right. That's a rest that we can experience now, and it's a land of rest that we will one day enter if we come to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4 as well, it compares Joshua entering the promised land to us entering heaven. "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." When this world falls away, if we've come to Jesus, we will enter through the front door of heaven and breathe a great sigh of relief. We're home. We can rest. And since the Lord has promised that land of rest to his children, he will get us there. This is comforting for all of us, but maybe it's particularly comforting for some of us who've lost friends and loved ones, believers, this year. We grieve, yes, of course, but the faithfulness of God to his promises means that we do not grieve without hope. He has been faithful to that believing family member, that believing friend. That friend has breathed a great sigh of relief as the weights and burdens of this life have been lifted. They have entered through the front door of heaven. They have entered God's land of rest. Great hope, great comfort. The Lord is giving us his land of rest. And so we've learned that one lesson. Now we're going to learn about the leader. The leader. No one will stand, no one can stand against him. I'm going to show us a 1 minute clip of an American football player called Derrick Henry. And you're looking for the big guy who's carrying the ball and who's got number 22 on his chest and on his back. This guy is 6'2". He's 112 kilograms. That's 17.5 stone, if you prefer that. Pure muscle. And what I'd like you to imagine as you watch this clip, I'd like you to imagine what it's like to have this guy on your team. Let's watch it.
There's already been one safety in this half. Drive starts at the one and looking for a little breathing room, and they get that and plenty more. Derrick Henry still going. Stays in bounds. He might go 99 yards for the touchdown. Unbelievable.
Well, you're going to see that Jaguars, they collapse on that left side, and Derrick Henry's just able to find a little bit of a crease, and then he's able to get down that sidelines, 99 yards. Images of Tony Dorsett on Monday Night Football right there.
I'd say it'd be a bit of a morale boost if you had him on your team. The rest of the team, they might be tired and battered, they might be bruised, but no one can stand against him. He just shoves them in the face, doesn't he? And the Lord's promises and commands to the leader of his people in verses 5 to 9 should give a similar morale boost to us. So the Lord says that Joshua is going to be like Derrick Henry. In verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Now, of course, we're not told that Joshua was 6'2" and 17.5 stone, nailing people in the face. Rather than muscle, Joshua's strength would be the presence and power of the Lord. You can see that in the second half of verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, Joshua. I will never leave you, Joshua, nor forsake you. Verse 9 too. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So in every battle, in every trial, Joshua could know that the Lord would be standing right next to him. So he had every reason to be the bold, courageous leader that God's people needed. The name Joshua means the Lord saves. So even though his mission would involve battle and defeating enemies, his primary mission was the salvation of God's people. He would be the one to lead them into this promised land of rest. He would be the one to bring this people home. And as long as Joshua was careful to obey the law, as long as he didn't turn from it to the right or to the left, as long as he meditated on it day and night, the promise of God's presence, the promise of God's strength would go with him. If you look at verses 7 to 9, you'll see that that promise was conditional. As long as Joshua obeyed, he would have success. Now, these are verses that I think many of us love to underline in our Bibles. And they are absolutely true of you if you are a believer. The Lord is with us. He, the Lord, does strengthen us. His presence means we can have great boldness and courage. And if God uses this verse to increase your confidence, knowing that he's with you, brilliant. Hold on to that. Keep underlining it. Keep sticking it on your wall. Equally, I'd like us to see that these verses are even more wonderful when applied first to the leader of God's people, Jesus. Now, we're used to using his Greek name, Jesus. But do you know what his Hebrew name was? Is? Yeshua, which is just the Hebrew pronunciation of Joshua. Well, it's probably the other way around, isn't it? Same name. And Jesus, Yeshua, is uniquely able to obey the commands of verses 7 to 9, which means the promises of verse 5 are especially true of him. They are uniquely true of him. He is the irresistible force, that Derrick Henry-like irresistible force, who will carry his whole team to victory. He'll put the rest of us on his back and make sure we get to our heavenly home. No one can stand against him. This is wonderfully encouraging if we are doubting whether we can make it home to heaven. This is a much needed morale boost for everyone on Jesus' team when everything just seems too hard. Maybe you're someone who's reached breaking points. Maybe the trials and temptations you're facing feel like they're just too much. Maybe actually no one else in the room knows what you're facing. Well, be encouraged, because you don't have to be the mighty leader. You don't need to be bold and courageous all the time, because victory is in Jesus' hands, not yours. Actually, all you need to do is cling on to Jesus. Cling on to Jesus, and he will get you to that promised land of rest. Hold on to Jesus tight, and he will get you home, because no one can stand against him. Whatever obstacle you're facing, no one can stand against him. If you're holding on to Jesus, you will get there. For some here, that might mean holding on to him for the first time. You can't get to heaven yourself. You need to cling on to Jesus. For many of us here, it's going to mean holding fast onto Jesus every single day this week. When life feels too hard, I'm holding on to Jesus. Jesus, help me. Jesus, carry me. Jesus, get me home. I don't think I can get there on my own. I know I can't. No one can stand against him. He will get us there. Now, the Lord, he's giving you a land of rest. The leader, no one can stand against him. And finally, the lot of us unite in obedient service. After he has finished hearing from the Lord, Joshua speaks first to the officers and then to all the people, and his message to them all is this, verse 11. Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the lands the Lord your God is giving you for your own. We've already heard that the Lord is giving them this land of rest. We've just heard that no one is going to be able to stand against their leader, Joshua. But that doesn't mean that the people can just chill while the Lord and his leader do all the work. They don't get to set up a few deck chairs on the banks of the River Jordan like comfortable spectators. No way. In response to the Lord's faithfulness, they're going to have to unite in obedient service. And actually, that's what the people do commit to. You can see it there in verse 16 and 17. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. And I said it in the introduction. Here's the second major theme of the whole book. Seeing different people uniting in obedient service is meant to be inspirational for us. Serving, it's actually where the whole book ends up as well. I think it might be useful for all of us to flick to the last chapter. Chapter 24, if you've still got your Bibles open. And on page 240, I'll read verse 14 and 15. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Is that true of you? Is that true of your house? The Lord has been so faithful to us. Will we be faithful to him? Will we use his blessing to serve ourselves, or will we serve the Lord? Will we respond in persevering service all the days of our lives? Yes, our heavenly home is a gift of God's grace. Yes, it is the leader of God's people, Jesus, who will win us the victory to get us there in the end. But no, we don't sit back on our deck chairs like spectators. That's not how this works. After all we've been given, we don't serve ourselves. We will serve the Lord. What does that look like? We're going to see so many examples throughout this book of Joshua. But a very good starting point is what obedient service meant for the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh back in chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. You see, the Lord had already given those 2.5 tribes rest. They'd already gone into their lands on the east side of the Jordan and possessed them for themselves. But Joshua told them that they would have to cross over the River Jordan first, ahead of all the other tribes that were still waiting for rest, ahead of all the other tribes that were still waiting to possess their lands. And they would have to fight for the other tribes too. Only when the Lord had given all their brothers and sisters rest could those 2.5 tribes go back to their own lands. So for them, obediently serving the Lord meant sacrificially serving his people. Yes, obedient service means more than this, but it never means less than this. Among us, like those 2.5 tribes, may the strong serve the weak. May the mature serve the young. May the rich help the poor. We don't serve ourselves. We will serve the Lord. I know that in many ways we are a loving church. And so I know that some of you will have noticed someone struggling in some way, and maybe even just a small way. And you've already had the thought, oh, maybe I could drop a meal round. Maybe I could offer to read the Bible with that person. Maybe I could pray with them and just talk to them about how they're doing. But because of like distraction and the busyness of life, that thought has sort of gone out of our minds. We haven't acted on it yet. Because of the faithfulness of the Lord, because we know we are going to get home, because we know the Lord is keeping his promises to us, let's act on those thoughts this week. Let's unite in obedient service. We will serve the Lord. And one of the best ways we can do that is by serving his people. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that if we're trusting in Jesus, you will get us home. You will give us rest. Thank you that none of your promises fall to the ground. Thank you that even when we feel weak, battered, and bruised, we can trust in a leader like Jesus, whom no one can stand against. Thank you that whatever obstacle we're facing, we can hold on and cling to Jesus, knowing that nothing can stand against him. And Father, please help us to respond to this grace with faithful service. Please help us to look to the needs of everyone around this room. And please help us to serve you by serving them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.